back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Former Bolt Ross Colton is celebrating his 28th birthday today. So that leads us into the Lightning as our team of the day.
What a transition. I love it.
I am nothing if not up to speed on hockey birthdays now, thanks to this show.
You love it. And that's probably the first thing you do in the morning. And you're like, oh, hockey birthdays. Let's look at it. Who's on the long list? I think this is very refreshing because I never remember. I remember some birthdays, but I never remember. I have to put them in my calendar. I have to write them in. And I have to look ahead. I know my kids and stuff like that. My parents.
Oh, well, that's good.
But yes, when it comes to other people, I know JP Dumont's birthday because it's April Fool's, but that's about it. Like,
is that right?
Yeah, April Fool's Day. Every year, just stuck a big fish in his.
Yeah, well, we wouldn't expect it to rotate unless it was end of February. But
Simon Gagné is February 29th.
He's a leap
baby. That's another
one.
So that's a leap year baby. So yes.
Okay, so just to unexpectedly bookend this part of the show, who does Peyton Krebs share a birthday with once again?
Wayne Gretzky.
Yes, so we know that that's January 26th.
But I don't know Wayne Gretzky's birthday, so it doesn't matter.
January 26th, yes.
Okay, good. I know Sidney Crosby's birthday. That's an easy one.
Oh, I can't believe producer Jeff didn't force us to go in this direction the other day with stupid obvious headlines. Crosby, optimistic, a deal will get done. Oh, my God.
Is Sidney Crosby signing an $8.787 million deal with
Tampa? There's our transition for team of the day. His next deal happens.
Well, the question is, will Crosby retire at Pittsburgh Penguins? And if he doesn't, would Tampa Bay be the location, right? Gensel is there now, so why not follow your teammate, the guy that Crosby almost cried on camera last year when they traded him away? He was so disappointed, so disheartened. Maybe Crosby ends up in Tampa at some point. I still don't.
Stammer would take great offense if an older Crosby ended up replacing him there at some point.
Stammer would say, I'm going back to Tampa.
Oh, he'll win his cup in Nashville. It'll be good.
Ooh, hot takes. Yoki, are you hot takes here with Duffer? I love it.
Henry.
Okay, Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah,
Tampa
I mean, really, it comes down to Gensel for Stamkos at this point, right?
They lost quite a bit, right? Stamkos.
Did they?
Well, Stamkos still had 40 goals last year.
Right. But Gensel's going to be playing with Braden Point and Nikita Kucherov potentially. It's the best line in hockey, right?
I'd like to think that the best line in hockey is the one Connor McDavid is on, but it's close, yes. So I think Kucherov last year.
Let's not forget, McDavid didn't win the MVP, right? And
Kucherov did something.
It was a three-way race where anybody could have won the art. So you have to be careful when you phrase it this way, like, because Braden Point's one of the top six goal scorers in the league the last, you know, handful of years.
This is the trick question again. You know, when you play Jeopardy and it says this player led the Tampa Bay Lightning in goals in the 2023-24 season. Oh. And like, it's going to be who's Steven Stamkos? Who's Nikita Kucherov? It's Braden Point. This year, he had 46 goals. Kucherov had 44.
Yeah, but he had 50 prior to that.
I know, exactly. But that's the thing when I think I fell into the trap, and a lot of people make that mistake, is, Braden Point, first-line center? Yeah, Braden Point is a first-line center in the National Hockey League and one of the best at that, and has always performed and always been kind of under the radar because you have Kucherov and because you have Hedman and because you had Stamkos and because you have Vasilevsky and because you had Sergachev signing the big deal. Now Sergachev is gone. He's in Utah. But there's always been that Braden Point is not as good as his stats shown, but Braden Point is as good, even better than his stats have shown over the past few years.
So last year, with Stamkos having another very good year, the Lightning were 3.5 goals a game. That was fifth best. They were number one on the power play. And I think a lot of people are going to focus on that aspect of it.
Yep.
Recognizing that Jake Gensel is probably very worthy of the deal that he got. He is younger than Stamkos, so perhaps it makes sense that way as well. But will the power play be able to maintain its lofty status without Steven Stamkos?
Well, that's the thing, right? Because if you think of the power play with the Tampa Bay Lightning, you're thinking Steven Stamkos on the left flank with the power play one-timer. And he did have 19 power play goals last year. Out of his 40, 19 of them were on the power play. Braden Point at 15 and Kucherov was on the other side, the right flank as the lefty. He had 13 power play goals. So is Gensel the same fit as Steven Stamkos? Absolutely not. But the power play with the Tampa Bay Lightning, they were first last year because they were very diversified. They had different options. They had Point in the bumper, Kucherov on the right flank, Stamkos on the left. They had the point shot from Hedman or whoever you want to put up there. That's what makes the power play good. Yes, Stamkos at 19 power play goals. But I think that power play in Tampa is still a very dangerous power play. And you know, Duffer, I've not been really high on Tampa going into this offseason because I think Toronto, Florida are the top two in the Atlantic. I think Boston and Tampa are going to take a step back to allow teams like Buffalo, Detroit, Ottawa to maybe say, hey, we can be third in the division. We can be fourth in the division. Potentially, we'll have five Atlantic Division teams make the playoffs next year. So I think it opens the door. But when I did my homework on the Tampa Bay Lightning last night, this morning, and I kept going over the numbers, I'm like, damn, Lightning are still good. The Lightning is still a top team in the Atlantic Division. So now I say Toronto, Florida, top two, Tampa is three. Like, they are very much in their own category. After that, I think it's Boston and the rest, but the Tampa Bay Lightning are still really good.
I'm concerned about their bottom six. But they've been able to live this way for such a long time. Now, granted, we segued with Ross Colton earlier. We know where the remnants of the champs have ended up, right? Palat is in New Jersey. Killorn is in Anaheim. Yes. Seattle has Yanni Gourde, right? Mm-hmm. And Tyler Johnson's on a PTO in Boston. But you know
what
I mean?
Pittsburgh had to do with Phil Kessel and Bonino and those guys.
This is why, even with a number one power play, and even with a top five penalty kill, and with a fifth best offense overall, this is part of the reason why they got bounced in five games by eventual Stanley Cup champion Florida last year. Yep. Is they nothing like, I like Nick Paul a lot. He's incredibly versatile, but I feel like if you're stacking it up this way, I don't like Nick Paul's scenario to start the year. Like, I love it for Nick when he moves up into the top six, and it's like, wow, look at, watch this guy play. Now, if they give Cam Atkinson an opportunity to play in the top six, okay, that's cool. But like Connor Sherry, Nick Paul,
Michael Acemont
on the right side, Gergensen's Glenn Denning, Mitchell Chafee, among others. Now, the wild card in all of this, of course, is, and I don't imagine it's going to happen, he would be fresh out of junior, even as a first rounder a couple of years ago. But Connor Geeky at some point is going to have an opportunity here, right?
Yep.
Does it happen right away? I don't know. But I am concerned that their bottom six isn't going to give them nearly enough. However,
yeah, the same way I was concerned without Vasilevsky last year, and all of a sudden Jonas Johansson comes in and is like, they start 9-6-5. Now you put that together, it's 9-11, but it's still plus three.
Yeah.
Right. And they were able to do it. I think Tampa is strong enough in their top six that they'll be able to balance the lackluster bottom six that they have. Now, the defense is a big question mark because you reacquire Ryan McDonagh, you move on from Mikhail Sergachev. You're hoping that Hedman, Chernak, McDonagh, and Radish or Moser.
Yeah. AJ Moser, if some of the depth charts are correct, I think the Moser Chernak pairing has really good potential. And in that scenario, you can still separate Hedman and McDonough. And I think then you have a presence on all three pairs, which is pretty good, which gets us to the point of, even if your bottom six is average at best, and I'm not sure it's average, what will the number look like for the Lightning goals against average at the end of this year? Because this year it was 3.26, which ranked 22nd in the NHL.
Yes. So it was 3.60 before Vasilevsky's return. So Vasi came back at American Thanksgiving. So before that, it was 3.60. They were giving up more goals than they were scoring. Even though they were scoring 3.5 goals a game, they were giving up 3.6 a game. When Vasi returned, he didn't play every single game. That dropped down to 3.15. I think a healthy Andrei Vasilevsky, his number himself, should be in the 2.6 range. It was 2.9 last year, 2.90. So, and he only had a 900 save percentage. If he's at 915, which is 917 is his career average, I think it's down to 2.5, 2.6. I think Tampa can stay. Jonas Johansson is going to be in the 3 range. You're at 2.75 as a team. That's a really, really solid number. That puts you top 10 in the NHL at the end of the day.
I don't think they're getting all the way down to 2.7. I think they can easily live if they chop it from 3.2 to 2.95. And, you know, because again, if the offense holds up, and even it, I think, will come down a little bit. I think they're good. I don't think they're great, but I think they're really good, and I think they're a playoff team. Man, I think it makes it that much harder for everybody. Yep. Like, I think
there was 12 teams last year, Duffer. 12 teams that had a goals against average under 3 last year. Only 12 teams. Even if they went from, like you said,
Buffalo.
Was that?
Including
Sabres
Buffalo.
Were 296, tied with Vegas in the top 12. Were the 11th and 12th team.
Like, third of a goal per game better than the Lightning.
Yeah, absolutely. So even if the Lightning dropped to 299, you know, I think it could go down to 275, 280. But if they drop to 299, they're still top 12 in the NHL instead of being 22nd. And they're still going to score with Kucherov and Point and, you know, Gensel and
Hagel, Cirelli.
They're like, still going to be top 10 in scoring at the very least, top 10. So you're still good.
So 7 straight years in the playoffs, 10 of 11 years under John Cooper, who has a career points percentage of 640. He has 2 cup wins, 2 cup losses, 2 conference final losses. And this is the number. 150 playoff games under John Cooper. The next closest team in this window of time is the Rangers at 107. It's not even close how the Lightning have been the model franchise of the NHL for a decade. It is like the Rangers 107, Boston 105, Dallas 104, Pittsburgh 100. Those are the only other teams to play 100 playoff games. The Lightning have played 150. Yep. It's absolutely insane. But it doesn't have Stamkos anymore.
This is John Cooper's last contract, like last year of his contract. He signed a 3-year extension after the 21 season. So 24-25 is the last year of his deal as well. Does he want to continue with Tampa after this year? Does he want to go try something else? I feel like John Cooper and Tampa, they're together. They are going to stick together. But sometimes coaches want a new challenge and they say, I'm moving on. You're right. No, Steven Stamkos is a big difference in Tampa for sure.
All right. Quick wrap. More birthdays? Yeah, probably. It's all ahead here on Sabres Live.